The big takeaway from Governor Gretchen Whitmer's inaugural speech this week, her call for compromise, bipartisan cooperation, and the promise she'll be a governor for everyone. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is thinking about that promise as it bumps up against the political realities of a Democratic governor and a GOP-controlled legislature. Daniel, you say compromise is a quaint concept. Why is that?
Well, it's because it's not part of the political ethos today. I think you see it playing out in Washington today, in fact, in continuing negotiations over the shutdown. The Democratic House will be seated today. Nancy Pelosi will become, by all accounts, the Speaker yet again of the House. And I think the Democrats will tell you they're trying to get the president to compromise, but he clearly is indicating that he's not going to compromise, or he doesn't plan to, and believes that it's a play for his base. And I think we see a lot of base plays in politics. We see it at the state level. We saw it certainly when Jennifer Granholm was governor, and her base was organized labor, the teachers' unions, and a lot of her policy was tilted in that direction.
And one would say the same with Governor Snyder. His base was the business community.
Yes, but I would sharpen it a little bit more and say that in the legislature, Republicans in the legislature had a much more conservative base, I think, than the governor did at the time. And so, I mean, that is natural in politics, but I think it's become kind of the way politics are done. More and more what I see is the exercise of politics is really not the art of persuasion. It's the exercise of raw political power.
But, you know, you stop and you think, isn't compromise and bipartisanship what voters are demanding? I mean, don't legislators and the governor ignore that at their own peril come Election Day?
Well, you'd like to think. I think you look at, as I think I pointed out in today's column, you look at divided government and you say that implicit in that is that voters want compromise. I'm not really sure that's true, and I'm not sure that the people who are elected necessarily interpret it that way. And as a result, you tend to get a lot more people who get a lot more dug in. But I don't think there's any question that a lot of the issues that face Michigan, whether the two biggest ones that come to mind are infrastructure and educational attainment, both of those things affect everybody, regardless of whether you have an R or a D next to your name, or you consider yourself an independent, they affect your children, they affect your community, they affect your quality of life. We all have a vested interest in trying to solve some of these issues. And I think anybody who, whether you drive down to Ohio like I did to visit your mother after Christmas, you're reminded yet again of, you go over the state line, and it's like you go blah, 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 and they go,
true.
You know, it's amazing. And the same thing with educational attainment. It doesn't matter if you live in Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, Detroit, Flint, whatever your community, the educational attainment of your public schools is declining relative to other states.
We're coming off 8 years of having a governor who didn't have a lick of political experience, who was not comfortable with politics. How do you think things could be different with Governor Whitmer?
Well, I think they ought to be. Look, she was a Senate Minority Leader. She has political experience. Rick Snyder and Jennifer Granholm had absolutely zero in the legislature. You have to go back, obviously, to John Engler, who was a real wheeler and dealer and a muscle man in the legislature, to find somebody with that kind of experience. And I think when you bring that into the governor's office, it has to make a difference. I don't know how it can't make a difference of understanding relationships, understanding how to reach across party lines to get things done. Gretchen Whitmer was the minority leader, not the majority leader. So in order to get some of the things realized that she wanted to get realized, and her party wanted to get realized, she had to work with Republicans. She had to work with Rick Snyder in his first term. If she is not able to deliver on this bipartisanship, I think a lot of the blame will, to some extent, fall to her. And why do I say that? Because the chief executive's job is to sell their policy. It is not the job of the opposition to endorse the policy. Whether it's Barack Obama trying to deal with a Republican Congress or now Donald Trump dealing with a Democratic House, their job is to sell and to try and persuade people to support them on what they believe to be key policy issues. It's not the job of the opposition to bless whatever the chief executive puts forth.
But I think a lot of voters might say it might be the job of the opposition to stop putting party before state or party before country.
Oh, I would agree with that. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's why I come back to the point I made at the top about confrontation. We're living in an era of polarization where party oftentimes, if not always, does come first. And as a result, a lot of things don't get accomplished. What happens is voters get more and more frustrated. And one result of that is the election of Donald Trump. I mean, I think you see voters that got so frustrated with what they saw, dysfunction in Washington, things that were being done about along straight party lines. We could go down the list, as I did in the column, mm-hmm. whether it's Obamacare or it's the Trump tax cuts that were pushed through by Republicans without Democratic votes. I mean, that's just the way people are doing things. And I think voters are getting increasingly frustrated with that and saying, we want to change. And if we have to put a bull in a proverbial china shop in Washington and Donald Trump, that's what we're going to do. And enough people did it in enough states that he won the Electoral College, and now he's president.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.